Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Priscilla Torres.
All right, so welcome to the IB Podcast. I am your host, Priscilla Torres, and I am so excited to be joined today by Seth Davies, who serves as the Senior Vice President for Competitive Solutions, Inc. Seth has 25 years of professional experience in strategic business processes, metrics, organization communication strategies, and employee accountability and engagement. So Seth, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Priscilla. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta.
Oh, wonderful. Good. So you and I have had some great opportunities to have some good discussions leading up to today's episode. And you're very driven, or your company is very driven by the utilization of metrics and helping other organizations understand the importance of using those metrics. What thoughts or what information would you like to share with us today?
I think, you know, metrics in organizations are very important because many times employees are doing their job, and unless their supervisor or manager comes around and gives them feedback that things aren't going well, they assume that everything is okay. In my firm, Competitive Solutions, we firmly believe that we need to connect our employees to the business. So at the end of the day, at the end of the week, the employees and the team know, did we do what we needed to do to help move the organization forward? And one of the questions I like to ask people when I visit their organizations, and then I ask the managers or leadership to ask the same question is, hey, are you winning? Are you losing? And what scorecards, what metrics do, it gives people the visual, the snapshot of that moment in time of, are we doing what we need to do to help an organization be successful? And many times at the end of the day, at the end of the week, people leave thinking everything is good. But how do we really connect them to the business and create that ownership, that engagement, and the overall performance of the business? And that's what metrics and scorecards can do if we have them beginning at the senior level to strategic level, and then aligning and cascading them throughout the organization. We can connect people to the business.
That's great. And I appreciate that you mentioned that, because there's so much value in practicing metrics and understanding how to use metrics and data to help support change, to help support growth within an organization. So for someone who may be newer to utilizing metrics, how would you recommend that us as leaders can use that to drive our organization forward to the next level? And the same for HR professionals. How can we use those metrics to our advantage?
Yeah, so a couple of ways to look at that. One is to look at the strategic plan for the organization. Where does the organization want to be in 2 or 3 years? And then what are the metrics? What's the information that's going to help us get to where we want to be? Many times when it comes to a strategic plan, when we review our progress of our strategic plan, is at the end of it. When we fail to have the milestones, the monthly check-ins to see, are we on track? So, you know, one way to do it is to take the strategic plan, and if we're looking at growth, you know, what are the metrics we need to hit on a monthly basis to know, are we tracking on a growth perspective? Another way to look at it is for, if a leader wants to have metrics within his or her team, to identify what I call focus areas, key focus areas, 3 to 5 key focus areas, such as people, productivity, customer service, cost, budget, you know, identify some big buckets for the business. And then underneath each bucket, you know, the team, the employees come up with, what are 2-3 metrics that we can measure under cost? What are 2 or 3 metrics that we can measure in impact under customer service, whether that may be responsiveness to our external customers or to our internal customers? Looking at productivity, you know, how many do we need to make daily or weekly to help with that number? So my message would be, you're never going to have perfect metrics or perfect scorecard. It's always going to be an evolution, a process of evaluating every 90 to 120 days. What does that metric tell us? Are we able to impact it with a corrective action, with a behavioral change? But you got to start somewhere. And so starting with whether it's the strategic plan or it's just looking at my HR department in general and saying, you know, what are the 3 to 5 areas important to us? And then underneath each of the 3 to 5 areas, what are 2 or 3 metrics that, one, we can measure now, and 2, we have impact and control over?
That's great. And I know that I've had the honor of attending your prior trainings. And I know that you speak on the concept of thermometer versus thermostat. You know, how can that be applied to this this concept?
Yeah, so if you think about right now, we're in the fall, and we were in the summertime, and we were using thermometers and thermostats, right? The thermometer tells us the temperature, right? But what the thermostat does is it tells us the temperature and it allows us to make adjustments. And in many organizations, they have data, they have scorecards and they have metrics, but all it is, in my view, is it's simply a thermometer. It just says, here's how we're performing, right? And it becomes wallpaper, or it becomes a report that gets emailed out that nobody ever looks at, or gets posted on a bulletin board in the break room. So my belief is if we're gonna take the time to measure our performance in the business, we need to take the time to talk about it. And that's where my analogy comes in with a thermostat. The thermostat tells us the temperature, but then it also allows us to make adjustments. So if we have metrics that are below target, we talk about why are we below target? What are the adjustments? What are the behavioral changes or the internal processes or systems? What are the things we need to do differently as a team to make that metric turn from red to green? Because many times, as I said earlier, you know, we measure, but then we do nothing with the data, right? It's just something that we look at, but there's no action around that. So I like to use the analogy of a thermometer and a thermostat. Your metrics have got to have that thermostatic approach to it. Talk about it, make adjustments.
And I think that's so important, because I think a lot of times we fail in that area, or there's areas of opportunities where we do such a good job of collecting the data, analyzing the data, but then what do we do after? And how can we use that data as not only a baseline, but really identify what those key priority items are and how we can develop action plans to help improve or help drive some of those changes. I love that concept, and I think it's so applicable to leaders in our roles and how we can best drive our organizations forward.
And it really helps drive a mindset of continuous improvement, mm-hmm. right? If we're talking about things, we're talking about getting better. And, you know, I've talked about metrics being, if it's red, you need to come up with a corrective action to turn it green. You know, conversely, if you've had a metric where it's been green for 90 days, let's raise or lower that target number and on purpose turn it red, because then it's going to drive the discussion of, okay, what can we do to get better in that area? So, and what I've seen in my 25 years of doing this, Priscilla, is that employees love the opportunity to talk about how can we get together. Because, you know, many times the leader, the manager, the supervisor shows up and says, okay, you missed your number, you were below target, here's what I want you to do differently. And the members of the team are looking around saying, he or she has no idea what we really do. So let's put the accountability and the ownership for changing that where it needs to be. And that's at the team level. And so then we start having the ownership and the DNA of our employees in the scorecards and in the metrics. We then engage them. We then have accountability. And then we'll truly have a high performing organization that's moving the business forward.
Absolutely. And how often do you, in your experience, do you feel that organizations should be reassessing their metrics and taking a pulse of that level of accountability that's being pushed onto the staff level?
You know, every 90 to 120 days, we need to reassess, you know, our scorecard. You know, one, what does that metric tell us? Is it helping us move our business forward? I mean, look at the times we're in right now. Back in mid-March, you know, when the pandemic hit, a lot of organizations, their business plans and the scorecards they had in place, they had to tear those up and start over again and make adjustments. Because if they maintained what they had, they would have never been successful. And so every, you know, once a quarter, let's set aside 30 minutes and let's go through our scorecard and say, what does that metric tell us? And sometimes we put a metric on the scorecard for a short-term issue we're having, a short-term challenge, and then we can take that off. But we can't be static and just, you know, on January 1st, have the same scorecard at the end of the year. You know, many times what I see is a scorecard that a team has in January probably only about 50% of what was started on January is still there in December. Now they've added and changed out the metrics, but the key is to have those constant discussions around the metric. What does it tell us? How is it helping us move the business forward?
Yeah, and you made another good point. When we talk about driving effectiveness, what are some of those strategies that we can use to advertise and communicate those key business information so that ultimately we can drive that effectiveness?
Yeah, I'm a big believer that we have got to get back to basics as organizations when it comes to communication. And if you look at, you know, many organizations, they do employee surveys once a year, and always one of the top issues on employee surveys, lack of communication. And what I see and what my firm Competitive Solutions sees is that most organizations today are experts at advertising information. And what do I mean by that? I mean, they're good at putting out company newsletters. They're good at company intranet pages. They're excellent at having bulletin boards or scrolling signs, you know, advertising information. And the number one form of advertising is email, right? And those all are one way. It requires a response. And, you know, it's always interesting to me when someone will come up and say, hey, did you get that email sent to you? What they're really saying is, how come you haven't responded yet, right? So when I talk about advertising, that serves to supplement the message of communication. Communication for me is got to be face-to-face, two-way, where the leader can share key information with his or her team, and immediately that team can respond and react to it if they have questions around that. You know, we're getting into that period of time, the fourth quarter, where organizations are starting to have their employees sign up for employee benefits for 2021, or make changes to their retirement or 401k plans. Many organizations are going to advertise that change, right? They're going to email it out. They're going to mail things to people's houses. And probably in December, a lot of people will have not responded yet. A very simple, what I call pass down, where we pass down key information to our organization. And if you look at, you know, think about your organization from an org chart perspective, pass down starts at the top. You know, what are the two or three items we want our employees to know about? And then in face-to-face meetings, we're passing down that key information. So when it comes to, you know, communicating, I don't think we can over-communicate, and employees want to know everything that's going on, because let's be honest, what people don't know, they make up, right? But if we have that face-to-face communication for 30 minutes, you know, once a week, I have organizations that do, you know, 5 minutes every morning. You know, let's talk about the day ahead, and here are the things that you need to know. We have guests coming on site. We have visitors coming on site. If you need to make changes to your 401k plan, see your HR representative. So that's my view on communication. I think we've got to get away from the advertising and get back to the basics of face-to-face communication.
Yeah, and I can understand how communication has broken down even further. Considering that most organizations are operating fully remote, and working remotely in itself already disconnects us and disables us to have those consistent interactions. So it's so important that organizations are finding, you know, creative ways and instilling it into their practice on relaying that information and communicating that information so that people feel accountable for their own benefit selections, for example, or having an understanding of what is going on and make them feel included and not so disconnected because of the world that we live in today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do have a good viewership that are young professionals or individuals who are trying to break the ceiling within their respective organizations. Do you have any career advice that you can provide to our audience?
Well, that's a great question. You know, two things come to mind. One is, you know, if I look back at my own career, you know, I was one of my first jobs. I was miserable and I wasn't happy in it. And my performance showed with that. And I think it's important. And I view part of, you know, if you enjoy what you're doing, I think that's part of your compensation. Because if you enjoy what you're doing, you're going to do a good job. There's going to be opportunities for growth and development in the organization with that. So I think it's really about, and you hear people talk about, you know, do something you're passionate about. You know, I wholeheartedly agree with that. You know, do something you're passionate about. I mean, I've been working here at Competitive Solutions for 24 years, and I'm passionate about it because I see the change that metrics, that accountability, that enhanced communication can bring to organizations. And so, you know, when I see the work that we do with the companies and I see how it improves business results, that gets me excited. It's something I've become passionate about. You know, the other thing that I would, the other piece of career advice, and it took me a while to figure this out, but I think we all have to, at some point, at the end of the day, we have to unplug from work. And for me, my rule is that, you know, I don't check my phone. I don't look at email after 6 p.m. I need to unplug. I need to decompress from the day. I don't look at email on the weekends. I need to be there. I need to be present with my family. Now, my colleagues know if it's something critical, you know, send me a text message and I'll respond appropriately. But we've got to find that balance in life, that because it's real easy where before, you know, I know people that check the email before they go to bed, and before they know it, it's 1:30, they're answering email. We've got to, you know, we've got to find a way to take care of ourselves mentally and physically with that. And I think you've got to find that breaking point where you disconnect from the work.
That is wonderful advice. I think all of us can look at incorporating that, especially in the world that we live in today, where the lines have become a little bit blurry on balancing work life and professional life, and our careers have now taken, the majority of our priority and as we're working remotely. So that's fantastic advice and an area that we could all certainly incorporate.
And I think also, you know, in the times that we are now with, you know, before, you know, back in January and February, when people were coming to the office, there was that off switch that when you walked out of the door, you know, people realize, hey, Priscilla's left for the day. We'll talk to her tomorrow. But now with people working remotely and they're doing Teams calls or Zoom or GoToMeeting, you know, where is that turn off the switch thing, right? I mean, where is that now? Is it still the expectation that, you know, you're at home, but you're still available at 7 p.m. at night for a Zoom call or for a respond to an email? So I think we've got to be very cognizant of our employees and make sure that they have that stopping point to recharge their batteries and be with their families and be present.
Yeah, and I think something that you've been doing so well is also being a role model to those practices. And it's not giving an undisclosed expectation that, well, because I'm sending you emails at 11 o'clock at night, now by default, my staff is going to interpret that as, okay, maybe I should be responding at 11 o'clock at night. So I commend you for taking a stand and committing to those boundaries so that you're able to model those behaviors with your staff and those that you work with so that they can be mindful and respectful of your disconnection, but it also encourages them to, you know, model the same behaviors, because like you said, it all starts with us. We have to take care of ourselves first so that we can be the most effective leaders within our own organizations. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Seth. It was such a pleasure having you. You shared such wonderful information. If anyone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they reach out to you?
Well, thanks, Priscilla. Our website for Competitive Solutions, Inc. is csipbl.com. My email address is sethd@csipbl.com. I've got a lot of metric examples. People, as they begin the process of building scorecards, if they're interested in getting some examples, I'll be more than happy to share those with them and also talk about accountability and driving that within their organization. So thanks for having me, Priscilla. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. Likewise, Seth. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Take care.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a minute to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. We'll catch you in the next episode.